Beautiful special number and Rhonda for beautiful piano playing. Take your Bible, please, with me this morning. Turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4 in your Bible with me. Whenever we come to this annual Sunday, we call it Vision Sunday. I would rather call it maybe Planning Sunday. The reason being that it gives you the idea that maybe I went into a mystic trance somewhere and received additional divine revelation. That does not happen in this dispensation. Let us be clear about that. I don't receive a divine revelation, but we do want to make a plan and present a plan, and doing so is biblical. Now, when we first discussed this among our staff, my immediate mental response, and maybe I even vocalized it, my immediate response was, when we started talking about a plan for 2021, my thought was, well, how'd that work out for us last year? I remember standing up in the old church building and giving this grand plan of things that I wanted to have accomplished, and very quickly that plan was scuttled. But I look back on that now, and I say scuttled to God's glory. God was doing something bigger than we could have ever imagined. All human planning, then, is to be subject, and this is really the burden of the passage we'll read in a moment. All human planning is to be subject to the will of God, and circumstances that surround us are the will of God. I want to remind you that nothing happens outside of God's sovereign control. When I use that word, it does not mean that God decreed or determined everything that happens. That is not the case. God does not decree or determine that I'm going to commit a sin. God does not decree or determine that you're going to do something that is wrong or that someone's going to get shot. None of those things are decreed and determined. But the God who controls this universe does so in a sovereign way, controlling things so that regardless of my actions, he always wins. You need to remember that about God. You need to remember that, by the way, in relationship to things in our world today. I've had so many people, probably more than a dozen people in the last week, call me, and one in particular questioned God, not a member of our church, but called me, one questioned God, and then other people who are frustrated, and they're saying, Pastor Ronnie, where is God in all of this? May I say that God is on his throne. But what about the person who occupies the White House? May I quote the scripture to you? He, speaking of God, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He shall have them in derision. Psalm 2. Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying this. God is in control no matter who thinks he or she is. It would be good for every Christian to remember that. It would also be good for us to remember that while we're going to make plans, those plans are subject to change based upon the divine allowances, what God allows to happen in this world. That's part of the sermon, so I'm not going to get in there immediately. But my whole idea is this morning. I think I'm going to present you some biblical principles about how to make plans without being presumptuous. Have you ever seen somebody who says, well, Pastor Ronnie, I can't wait to tell you all the plans that I have for the next year, and then they go through all of these plans, they love to talk about it, and they're very presumptuous about the results? I learned a long time ago, do your best to leave the results to God and don't presume anything. That is the burden of what James says in James chapter 4. So your Bible is open to our text. We're going to look, beginning at verse number 13, James 4 and verse 13. The Bible says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Here's the rebuke. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. How can I biblically frame plans for the church as leader of the church? How can I frame plans for the church? How can I biblically frame plans for my own life? Plans are more than good intentions. How can I make that a reality, that this type of thing would be biblical? Let me give you some ideas, and then in the course of the message, I'm going to give you the plan. But I want to give you the ideas first. It will help you in thinking about the plan, how we as a church body will execute the plan, and what will happen up ahead. And by the way, I'm really excited about it. I really just wanted to spill it all, to spill the beans right up front, but I think we need to preach about it a little bit first. Okay, number Number one, this is for your life personally. This is for us corporately as Faith Baptist Church. Number one, here it is. Make a plan. Make a plan. Now, Pastor Monty, it would appear that the passage you just read actually mitigates against making a plan. I mean, it kind of sounds like it's down on a plan. You people who go to these cities and you say, we're going to go here for a year, we're going to buy and we're going to sell and we're going to get gain. And that's criticized by the Apostle James. But I want you to notice something. It is not the idea of having a plan that is criticized. It is the attitude about the plan. Look at verse number 15. Here's what James says he ought to say. There is a difference between verse 13 and verse number 15. Verse 15. For that ye ought to say, this is what he ought to do, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. What is the this or that? The this or that is the plan. That is the plan. In other words, James is not saying do not have a plan. Every person in this room should have a plan, something you're planning to do for your life. I like to do this. I plan out my day early in the morning when I get up in the morning, dark 30. I plan out my day. I have a little list of things that should get accomplished during that day. Now, you say, Pastor, it must always get accomplished because you're the pastor. You've got to be kidding me. No, and more often than not, it's totally derailed by the staff. But that's okay because I get them back and do the same thing. The truth of the matter is, though, if you don't have a plan, if you don't plan to do something, you will plan to do nothing. And that's problematic. The idea here, he says in verse 15, is that he ought to say, I'm going to do this or that, but it's with a different attitude. And I'll get into the attitude in a moment. Make a plan. They're not making a plan for future action is biblical, okay? It is biblical, but it has to reside within biblical confines. Do you have other proof of this? Yes. Luke chapter 14, verses 28 to 32. You don't have to turn there. Luke 14, 28 to 32. Jesus gave two examples in that passage of people who needed to make a plan, and he said it is nonsensical for you not to make a plan. Example number one was you're going to build a building. And he said, which one of you, if you're going to build a building, before you begin the building, which one of you doesn't sit down and count the cost? Now, what was he focusing there on? He was focusing on finances. So before you build, before you put a shovel in the ground, the smart person will have planned out the financial obligations. That, of course, involves planning a building, knowing how much building can we get, which is what we've been through this process for several years now, finding out how much building we can get, what it's going to cost, using every wise factor that we can possibly use. We factored in, Jesus taught that is vital. He said it's normal and good practice before you build. He said if you don't, if you fail to count the cost, he said what's going to happen is you'll bring in the construction guys, they'll start digging and moving earth, then they'll dig a trench, then they'll put in a foundation, and then at that point you might run out of money. And Jesus said if you run out of money in the foundation stage and you're not able to build it more, then you will become a laughing stock to all your neighbors. What was that? It was failure to make a plan. The Bible over and over again emphasizes the wisdom of planning, but it has to be biblical planning. The second example that Jesus gave in Luke 14 is a battle plan. So there's a building plan, there's a battle plan. In the battle plan, what king is going to go to war against another king without figuring out the troops that he has, the troops that the other guy has, and working through the odds? What is that? It is strategic planning. So you have financial planning, you have strategic planning, and Jesus endorsed both of these things as being biblical right and, frankly, common sense. By the way, in our personal lives, it would be good for every person in this room to have a plan. Pastor Monty, what's the plan? Well, financially, there's a word for it. It's an ugly word, budget. But it's important. Well, I don't know how to make a budget. There are 10,000 pages on Google, if Google still exists by the time the service is done. There there was an inside joke for conspiracy theorists. There's 10,000 pages on Google to help you to design a budget. The idea of a building. Strategic planning is this, that I'm looking, now listen carefully, enough to my actions today and how they will influence the future. I do not focus on the future too much. I focus on today. And if I make wise decisions today, that will tend to pay off better for me in the future. But Jesus talked about having a plan. There is wisdom in planning, planning my day, planning my week, planning my month, planning my year. This is what our church staff has done over the course of the last several weeks and really several months, making some plans. And you say, Pastor Monty, I'm so excited. We have a plan and we're going to stick to it 100%. Well, maybe, maybe not. The plan is the servant, not the master. Does everybody follow what I'm saying? It's there to guide and direct and keep the right direction. But a plan is a good thing. I've noticed this in life, that people who have a plan accomplish more. I've known a lot of people who are big talkers. They're big talkers. They're happy with, and I taught this in my Sunday school class, they're happy with motion. Well, they're happy with motion. Yeah, they're big talkers. So the motion of talking about something, that satisfies them. The motion of researching it online, that satisfies them. The motion of the motion of thinking about it. The motion, and don't get me wrong with what I'm about to say, but the motion of praying about something. I'm going to be frank, you should pray about everything. But one of the biggest cop-outs that Christians use all the time, and I'll tell you, I don't like to even hear it. I say something, hey, did he do anything about thus and such problem that we talked about and I gave you a great solution? Did he do anything about it? Well, Pastor, I'm praying about it. Cop out. Now, it's a very spiritual cop out. And you should be praying, but you shouldn't be satisfied with just praying. Someone wise said this, pray as if everything depends upon God and work as if everything depends upon you. There's nothing wrong with that dichotomy. In fact, it is two sides to the same coin, that being the coin of success. What I'm saying this morning is this, don't just be satisfied with the motion of thinking, talking, praying, expressing, and researching. You need to move into the area of actually doing something that is solid in that day that advances your plan. So number one, make a plan. Number two, and all of this is so important, this is where the original planners in verse 13 failed. Build flexibility into your plan. Build flexibility into your plan. Look at verse number 13. Go to now, ye that say, today and tomorrow. These are people who are talking about their scheme. Today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy, and sell, and get gain. There's a problem with that. Very little flexibility in the plan. The plan sounds good on the surface. But for some people, if even the most minor step in the plan is derailed, they fall apart. The only flexibility I say is this, they're going to go there today or tomorrow. Well, why didn't they know what day they were going there? Because they weren't sure when their wives were going to be ready. That's exactly why they didn't know that. They had to wait. They figured, well, she's got to do her hair, so tomorrow probably is when it's going to take place. That was the only flexibility that was built into the entire plan. Details of a plan, and I'm saying this to you on a practical level, but I'm also saying this as on a church level. In a moment when I present this plan, details of this plan cannot be set in stone. If 2020 taught me anything in the world, it is this. I need to be flexible. By the way, this church family through 2020 was absolutely amazing because you were incredibly flexible with what we were attempting to do. And when everything kind of blew up and we closed for a while with the COVID, I was so amazed how flexible you were with all of that. I didn't hear one complaint about that, okay? We're just doing what we think is best to do in a situation where we didn't know things. Now we're wiser and smarter and we know more, but back then we didn't. And there was such a flexibility. So building flexibility into a plan for this year, given some of the uncertainty, and the Bible says there's uncertainty, given that uncertainty is only wise. If I were you, I'd build flexibility into my plan, my personal plan for this year. If I would do that. Well, Pastor Monty, I'm so excited because I've got a Caribbean cruise scheduled for April. You're about to be really disappointed. Those cruise lines are still selling cruises to people with absolutely no intention of sailing. So be flexible. By the way, you're going to find in our plan that we have selected COVID-proof activities for this year, so we won't have to change the calendar as much. But I'm promoting that you being flexible. Details cannot be set in stone, okay? Timing must be flexible. That's where they were flexible in their plan in verse 13. Today or tomorrow, there's little flexibility there. Location must be flexible. We're going to such and such a city. Well, Pastor, our church location is right here. It is, and I'm hoping that it will always be open. And by the way, we're not closing the doors of this church if any government official tells me I have to. Did you just hear that? Now, if I choose to, because I'm doing so voluntarily to protect the sheep of the pasture, then that would be my choice. But I will not close based upon the mandate of anyone, because that is a violation of our Constitution. And I will not be pushed around. And by the way, neither will thousands of other pastors who have gained their courage, who have thought this through, and who have decided we're opening the churches, we're keeping the church gathered together. Why would I want to just limit myself? I shouldn't go into this. Okay, let's just move. So that was flexibility right there. You saw it right in front of you. I was headed down the road. Is there an example of this flexibility as to location thing in the Bible? Yeah, Paul's ministry is really interesting, because Paul had made a promise in 2 Corinthians. He alludes to this, chapter 1 and 2. He made a promise that he was going to go visit the Corinthian church, the church he had planted. The church had some problems. He wrote the letter, 1 Corinthians, a scathing rebuke to the church. And he sent that letter away, but he had made a promise somewhere along the line. Hey, I'm going to go visit you when I come into Macedonia. Then Paul traveled to Macedonia, and something changed his itinerary. And rather than going to Corinth, he went to Troas. And the people in Corinth found out about it. And they were mad. Man, the Apostle Paul said he was going to come. And now we understand he's in Troas. He just doesn't keep his word. And part of the first two chapters of 2 Corinthians is dedicated to Paul saying, no, here is what happened, here is why, and he was flexible. And one of the things Paul opened up is that he said is this to them. He said, a great door, speaking of his ministry at Troas, he said, a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. He said, wait a minute, Church of Corinth, I'm still planning to come visit y'all, but one of the reasons I didn't was because when I went to Troas, there was this huge door for the gospel that opened up. It wasn't in my original plan. Boom! There's an opportunity. May I say that all of our plans as individuals and as a church family need to be flexible with potential opportunities that may come our way. The planning of verse number 13 was really rather set in stone, not a good idea. Now, look at that last part of verse number 13, because here's another problem with the planning. So, number one, I'm going to make a plan. Number two, I'm going to build flexibility into my plan. Now, look at the end of verse number 13. He said this. He said, we're going to go to, today or tomorrow, we're going to a city. We're going to continue there a year. We're going to buy and sell. Now, note the next words. And get gain. Number three. Plan actions, not outcomes. Plan actions, not outcomes. Okay? The problem with the idea here in their planning was this. They had planned an outcome as if it were an action. Now, the going today or tomorrow and traveling to a city, that's an action. Going into the city and buying, that is an action. Selling, that is an action. Those are all fine. Getting gain is not guaranteed. Do you know what people struggle with? People struggle with the idea that if they have a goal, they will meet that goal. In our plan for the church, we have planned actions and not outcomes. I'm going to tell you something that is going to surprise you. This, by the way, is from the best of research in this area, and I've read extensively in this area. Someone said, Pastor Monty, the thing I need to do to be a winner is focus on my goals. I used to think that, but it doesn't really make sense. Now, you should have a goal. I'm going to start my own business. That is a great goal. And so, but if you focus on that, I'm going to start my own business. I'm going to start my own business. I am going to start my own business. I'm going to start my own. Hey, did I ever tell you? I'm going to start my own business. Ever talk to you about how I'm going to start my own business? This is my goal, and I'm keeping it before you by telling you, Pastor Wall, and I'm not planning to start my own business because this is my business, but I'm going to start my own business. I'm going to do it. Well, Pastor Monty, of course, we need to do that because they always tell us to keep our eye on the goal. Stop, okay? Have the goal. But what's really important is the action. The action. I would like to see our church, even through the difficulty that may be incumbent in this year, I would like to see our church become far more effective with direct evangelism and winning people to Christ. I would love to see that. We've had a strong tradition of that in the past. Last year's big plan was to be evangelistic. And then everything collapsed on us. By the way, we still saw people saved. Amen. We still saw people saved. But I would love to see that happen. But you know what I'm going to focus on? Not just having that goal, but what are the actionable things that we're doing toward the goal? We make a plan, we build flexibility into the plan, and then we plan actions, not outcomes. The idea is this. If you buy and sell, you don't know for sure if you're going to get gain or not. You could lose your shirt. You don't know for sure. So do the actions that are most propitious toward meeting your goal, but focus on those actions without making tremendous plans. Great statement. Great statement. Anyone in business here should listen to what I'm about to say. Great statement made by Dr. Arlen Horton, who he and his wife were the founders of Pensacola Christian College, I suppose a multi-million or billion-dollar corporation. He was in Fortune 500 as one of the 500 top entrepreneurs in the world, okay, building this college from virtually nothing. Do you know what he said about that? I took his administrative leadership class years ago via video, and he said this. He said, I've learned in my life, he said, never, ever predict what God is going to do, but praise God for what he has already done. That is really good. Some people get the cart before the horse. All they want to do is talk about this is going to happen and that's going to happen. Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. No, let's focus on the system. Focus on the steps that will get me there. So I'm going to make a plan. I'm going to build flexibility in the plan. And then I'm going to plan actions and not outcomes. Do you know why? I do not control all of the results, but I can control my actions and the effort that I put forward toward the result. Now, having said that, I want to introduce you. I hope the slide presentation is ready to roll. I want to introduce you to 2021. Having emphasized we have a plan, having emphasized that we want to be flexible in that plan, and having emphasized we want to be actionable about our plan. I want to give it in glittering generalities. The theme for our year is Welcome Home. Welcome Home, of course, talks about the fact that our church family is now in a new location. Those of you who have been with us for a long time, you're at the old location, you're in the new location. But Welcome Home also speaks of this. The idea that we want to welcome other people into what is becoming our home as a church family. That is the general theme, to be a welcoming church, to be a loving church, to be a place where people can find a family of believers united in faith and love and compassion for one another, where we can grow together. We have not altered in any way our core principles of proclaiming the gospel and preaching the word of God. The pulpit ministry will always be central to this church as long as I'm pastor, because that is biblical, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. To deepen our spiritual walk both with the Lord and with other people, to equip our membership for the work of the ministry through some training things that I'm going to speak about in a moment, and then to serve both in our church and in his community. Now, I want to do this. I want to praise the Lord for his faithfulness in 2020, because even though we had a tough year in some ways, and I think emotionally, and I think 2020 would have been easier for me had I just stopped watching TV, because ignorance is bliss, and that's a good proverb, right? It's not in the Bible, but it's a good proverb. I want to take a minute to praise the Lord for his faithfulness in 2020, okay, for his protection over this church. We lost, and very sad to have lost, Jennifer Reed, one member of Faith Baptist Church, to COVID in 2020. We've lost one member. And we're sad about that, because I was looking at a video of a church service the other day where she was up here right over here singing in the choir, and we miss her. Kelly and I have talked about how we missed her, and that's a sad thing. But compared to other churches, even churches much smaller, this church has seen a divine hand of protection through this pandemic that has been nothing short of remarkable. Also, your response to the churches being flexible when we were making decisions, yes, we'll have this, no, we'll not have that, we were going to have that, but now we have to cancel this. Your response to that was phenomenal as a church family. God intervened and watched over us. In the very beginning of this, on a video that I sent out to the church, right when everything was falling apart back then, I think it was Psalm 90, I talked about that. And we're going to pray that the plague does not come nigh our dwelling. And we lost one member, and we do not minimize that loss in any way. But God has been certainly good to this congregation across the board. Your preacher likely had the COVID. I did not get tested because I don't like the health department. Your preacher likely, that's just my attitude, folks, and that's my reason. And you can say what you want, but I got my opinion, you got yours. But I likely had it, and God brought me through it. It was not a picnic. How many had it? No, it was not a picnic. No, it was not. It was clearly not a natural virus. It was clearly a manufactured virus. It was different from anything I've ever had before, and it was clearly man-made. But we got through this, okay? And then here's what happened. The next thing, praise the Lord for this, a spirit of unity. Wow. The church was unified. And when we came up with our brilliant plan to let you decide what you want to do, as far as, will I come to church? Will I not come to church? Will I wear a mask? Will I not wear a mask? Will I social distance? Will I not social distance? Will I sit in the mask-only room, or will I sit on the auditorium? We gave you all these choices, and you know what this church did? Very mature. Like mature American Christians, you said, I will find the level of risk tolerance that I have, and that is what I will practice. And in this church, nobody made fun of other people for what they were doing. I want to thank this church for that. By the way, that will be my plan going forward, is to give power to the people, since everyone else is taking it away from you right now. It will be to give power to the people to make your own choices. Spirit of unity. I want to stop here for a moment. Generous giving. Generous giving. Those of you who missed our Wednesday night business meeting, you missed the most spectacular financial statement ever published and produced in this church. Stephen, where is Stephen? Oh, you're in the sound booth. Stephen, is it accurate to say in the last 3 weeks the offerings have been around $350,000? Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Around $350,000 in the last 3 weeks.
Amen.
Would you let that sink in for a moment? Okay, that is God. I didn't beg, push, plead. In fact, it seems like it works better when I just shut up. I didn't do anything. And God, in His grace, praise God for that. Praise God for the faithfulness of people seated in this auditorium who have caught that vision. We praise Him for that. Who would build in a pandemic year with everything going crazy? Who would build? May I just make a statement? It's not because I'm smart. I had very little to do with the physical building. It's not because the staff is smart, because I know they're not. Okay? Okay? The credit is this: to God Almighty be the glory. To God be the glory. Anytime a human being would try to take that glory from Him, you're going to better look out. You'll be in trouble. And of course, we're seated in a great praise, our new church home, something for which many members of this church prayed for a long time and hoped for a long time. What is our mission? I mentioned briefly a moment ago, and I won't park on this very long. Our mission is the same as it's always been. It's a biblical mission to proclaim the gospel of Christ and the truths of Scripture from this pulpit. We will always do that by the grace of God. To deepen our relationship with Christ and others. And comes through teaching, through materials that we'll be giving you, through personal things to help you, to encourage you, to equip volunteers, those of you who want to serve, and that should mean every member of Faith Baptist Church, those of you who want to serve, we're going to help you to be effective in your areas of service, and then to serve others in the church and the community, and of course that includes preaching, teaching the gospel so that we see people saved. So what is the proclaim part? The proclaim part is this: strong Bible preaching. Okay, Bible preaching. Move on to the next slide. Mash the button up there. Strong Bible preaching will always be the emphasis. I want you to look at me, church. I'm going to give you a guarantee that while some sermons will be better than others, and some will be a total failure because I am a human being, I will guarantee one thing. The preaching will always be central in this church. We're never going to get to the point where we have some kind of entertainment, whether it be music or something else, and that takes up 40 minutes, and then I talk to you for 10 minutes. That will never happen at this church, okay? Preaching of the Word of God is central. That is part of our plan. Worldwide missions. When we went into the building program, before we even broke ground or did anything, we were told by all these fundraising people, these fundraising experts for churches, they met with us, and they said, a couple of them wanted to sell their wares to us. We rejected all of that and did it ourselves. One of the things they said is this, so all of them said this, you ask people to give money to Faith Promise Missions? During a building program, you have to stop asking for missions money, set the missions budget aside, and only focus on the building. May I say, in words appropriate to use, that immediately rubbed me the wrong way. How do you stop world evangelism so you can build a building? How ridiculous. To God Almighty be the glory. Our missions program was how much above budget in giving, Stephen? 44.5% above budget in giving to the missions program this last year, with everything else happening and the spectacular advancement in folks, can I just say that? That's God. That's God. We're going to continue our focus on worldwide missions. Hopefully at some point when things open up again, we'll plan a missions trip for you to go on. I have no idea when that will be because of travel and all that. And then our Hendricks County Outreach, we're going to have one Saturday each month where we conduct a go-and-tell event. Those will be announced when the weather turns nice. We reach our area with the gospel through those. Also, we're going to be active in several community-sponsored events. I'll say more about that. Under the idea of Deepen very quickly, 7 Sunday adult Bible school classes. So we have 7 adult Bible classes to choose from on Sunday. I was really excited because this week the staff came to me. They said, Pastor Monty, we have a problem. And one of them named a Sunday school class, an adult class, and said, that class has grown so quickly that we need to move it to another room. And I said, that's wonderful. We need to move a class because it grew. It's outgrowing its room already. That's wonderful. I said, where are we going to move it? He's like, to your Sunday school classroom. What? This is all sounding great, but then this will happen maybe next week or the week after. Then he said, well, you can have the gym. I want the gym. It's nearer to the kitchen for one thing, but I want the gym because I could fill the gym. It's wonderful. It's exciting. We have these as opportunities. Take advantage of them. Of course, our children and teen ministry, we have a nursery program, and then kids ages 2 years old through the sixth grade, part of our Sunday school. You know all of this. Our WANA program, phenomenal program for Bible teaching and memory. Our Faith Teens program is growing continually. It's an exciting program. We also have a ladies' Bible study. Maybe some of you ladies were not aware of that, and you can talk to one of our staff for more details on that, but there is a ladies' Bible study. How are we going to equip you? Remember last year what we did? Mentorship Initiative Training, MIT. I was going to actually hand you a certificate that said MIT, so you could wander around and say, I have a certificate from MIT. Massachusetts, no, not that one. That's when COVID hit, right? We got maybe halfway through that, and that's when COVID hit. We're going to do that again this year and have training on different levels. We'll be announcing topics for the classes. That'll be on Saturday morning. And guess what? When you come, you're going to get a full hot breakfast, a lot of good fellowship, and then go to a class. The whole thing lasts about an hour, and we're really going to have a good time with that. Maybe if you count breakfast, about an hour and a half. We're really going to have a good time with that. Daily family devotions, these are available through print, email, and social media. So if you're not getting those, I want you to see my secretary. She'll add you to the list to get those. And then I'm really excited about this. February 21st through 23rd, mark your calendar because we're having a winter revival with evangelist Scott Pauley. Scott Pauley was here back in early 2017. He was a tremendous evangelist, and we're going to be having a revival meeting, a concentrated effort to get the Word of God into our hearts and into our minds, and that is in the month of February. There's nothing else for you to be doing in February anyway, so I want to want to promote that. Then under serve, what are we going to do to serve? Well, we have several things, and I'm announcing these. Many of you know these, but I'm announcing them because a lot of folks don't know about them. Good News Ministries is the first Saturday of each month. That is the men's shelter. We have different adult Bible classes that serve at Good News Ministry. We have the De Gratia Ministry. That means to the glory of God. It is a special ministry for cancer patients, and our ladies put special crafts together. You can see Beth Welch if you're interested in that. If you want to get together and just make these things or distribute them. By the way, doors opened up this year, even in COVID, that allowed us to get these things directly into hospitals and reach out to people that are hurting. Then, of course, our bus ministry, and that for the year will culminate in our Christmas banquet, Lord willing. And so we had to scuttle that this year because of the illness that was around, and that was a decision we made, and we wanted to be safe about it, but we're hoping for that next year. What are some upcoming events? Okay, I mentioned already the Mentoring Initiative training that will start on Saturdays in February at 9 a.m. You'll get more information about that. I've mentioned our Winter Revival already, and then you can see the pretty slide that Val made, and then the Go Into, or did you make that, Pastor Wall?
Yeah.
You made that? You know, Pastor Wall is amazingly talented with artsy things. For like a big clunky guy, he's really good at artsy things. He also happens to be colorblind, and that's true. That's true, but somehow it always matches, at least to me it does. But we're going to have our Go and Tell events that'll be beginning on March 6th. Now turn to the next slide. I'm super excited about this. I already mentioned the other ones. July 4th happens to be a Sunday this year. Isn't that exciting? So Pastor Monty, you're going to preach a long sermon and ruin my fireworks? No. Here's what we're going to do. Sunday morning, we are going to have a blow-the-roof-off-the-place patriotic program, okay? It's going to be God and country and Constitution, okay? God, country, and Constitution. We're going to do that. We're going to thank God for our country. Big thing. Then afterwards, we're going to have a huge picnic right after church on the grounds, barbecue, the whole nine yards. People be bringing stuff too, because nothing better than a Baptist throwdown. We're going to get everyone together. We are going to have games for the kids. Pastor Wall, we're going to have games for the adults. Maybe games of skill or games of strength for the men. I was thinking about hatchet throwing, and then I thought better of it. Somebody might just throw some, but anyway, let's not go there. We're just going to have a great afternoon of activities, and you can go after that and head home and go see fireworks. That's going to be a good thing. September 19th, my next slide, please. September 19th, Back to Church Sunday. That's going to be a special emphasis Sunday where we invite you to bring a friend to the services of the church. There will be special things planned for them and things that will be attractive to them, and it's a good way to get everybody after the summer is over back into church. October 30th, move the slide along, please. October 30th, we're planning a fall festival. Remember the old ones? We had to cancel one year like three times and kind of gave up on it because of rain and bad weather. Does anyone remember that? This year, we don't have to do that, Pastor Wall, because if it rains, we've got a gym, okay? You can trash the gym. So we're going to have the fall festival, or if it's too cold or something, because it's a little later in the year. But we definitely will have our fall festival. Should the Lord tarry is coming and the creeks don't rise, we will have our fall festival. Then December 19th is our Bus Family Christmas event. Many of you are familiar with that. Those of you who are new to the church don't know about that, but we'll give you more details as that approaches. Now, here's something. You say, Pastor Monty, you've got a lot of events, and some of them are planned for outdoors. Yeah, but you know what? Something super cool happened. A month and a half ago, more, maybe 2 months ago, I mentioned in a business meeting that the deacons had considered a little purchase of a little storage shed for stuff we have that doesn't easily store inside, lawn tractors and stuff like that. And because of money, not knowing where we were financially, wanting to be very conservative, because I'm conservative, we decided to not buy this building. It was one of those ones you can just buy and set down and move around. We decided about $8,000. We decided not to buy that building. And so we didn't buy that. Well, and this is how the Lord works, okay? Normally in a business meeting, for the three of you that attend those, normally, well, no. Normally in a business meeting, I don't I don't talk about things that we talked about and didn't decide on or that we decided against. But that particular one, I was writing down my business meeting agenda, and I thought, I got nothing to say, so I'll just say, well, we talked about this but decided against it. That's not just me, okay? I had no idea. Someone in the meeting was listening. Several weeks later, came to the staff and said, look, they said, you need more than just a little storage barn, backyard Hoosier barn. Said, you need a bus barn. And you know what else you need? He said, you need a shelter house so that you can use the property. So put up the slide. This is the plan. This is the plan. Now, you'll notice the closest to the building red box, I don't have a pointer, the closest to the building red box, that's a pole barn. It's a 40 by 60 pole barn. Then you'll notice the shelter house that is a little bit to the west of that, that will service all of those fields. You say, what will be under there? Stuff like picnic tables. There will be bathrooms with running water in them so that you don't have to walk all the way back to the church for that. There'll be a little kitchen area in that. It's going to be a very nice shelter house. Yeah, Pastor Monty, these are great. These are very good. They're very exciting. But you didn't vote on it. When someone writes a check to cover the cost of the entire thing and designates that money, I ain't gonna vote. This is part of the plan, and by the way, that happened, okay? Just to reassure some of you conspiracy theorists, that happened, and to God be the glory. Do you know what that will allow us to do? That'll allow Sunday school classes to do things. You know what, that shelter house, how cool. How cool it would be in the summer to, after Sunday night church, to have a couple guys out there barbecuing hamburgers and hot dogs, and after Sunday night church, we all just go out there to eat rather than you know, McDonald's or something. How awesome would that be? Now, we're not going to do that every single Sunday, okay, but we will do it some Sundays. I am thrilled. This is what God is doing, folks. To God be the glory. I didn't see that aspect, though, the shelter house and pole barn. I did not see that coming anytime this year. And God did something big for us. We ought to be thankful. Hey, I'm not contemporary, right? But could you just give the Lord an applause? I'm not being contemporary. I'm just being excited. So what are some other additional goals? We have some goals in regard to growth goals as far as our building program is concerned. Turn to the next slide, please. What is our goal? Of course, it is to pay off our loan as quickly as possible, within the next 10 years if possible. I think it may be possible to do it more quickly. If we do that, we will realize a savings of $600,000 over the course of that 10 years, over the course of the loan. Numbers people in the church have given me these numbers. I didn't just make them up. Growth goal number two, complete phase one. In the next 3 to 5 years, I'd like to expand that gymnasium to full size, and we need some additional parking. The cost of that will be about $600,000. Now, Pastor Monty, are you committing to this? Remember what I said, we're going to be flexible. Okay, we don't know what's coming down the pike, but it's nice to have a plan, right? It's nice to be heading a direction, but we're going to be flexible as a church. The cost for that at this point is approximately $600,000. Growth goals, we're going to complete phase two within the next 3 to 5 years, completing a balcony and adding 300 additional seats. Right behind that big blank wall, there's a balcony. We're going to knock out the wall and complete that. That'll be about a $150,000 project. And then here's what we're going to do. We're asking our church family to continue. This is very important. To continue with your building program pledges. Now, I want everybody to listen to what I'm going to say. It is realistic for us to move ahead if all of us who are participating in the... You said the building campaign is only 3 years. Yeah, technically it is. But as your pastor, I'm asking you that we will continue that level of giving, those of us who have been participating, so that we can see these things happen quickly. I'm intent on moving forward for the Lord, especially in the day and times in which we're living. And our testimony, our ability to minister, all hinges on our faithfulness. So I'm asking the congregation, please, that we will continue the level of giving that we have. For people, we have a lot of new people in the congregation. If you are not familiar with our building program or how that works, you don't give a pledge to someone and tell them you're giving a bunch of money. You don't do that. But you decide that between you and the Lord, and then you give that money on a weekly, bi-weekly, monthly basis, however you're comfortable to do that. And we're not asking you to make a pledge. Does everybody Everybody understand that? We're not asking for that. And when we make a pledge, we needed that for the bank at one point. At this point, we don't. But we're asking you to continue so that we can just move ahead. And a long time ago, when we started in this, and I started my gifts to the building program personally, I discovered something. I didn't even miss it. And I may just increase it. In fact, I think I will. I'll just increase it to some better amount. I'll give more. Pastor Ogden, you're going to help me with that because I give electronically. I give more. Now you say, Pastor Monty, how can I be part of this? Okay, here are the ways to do it. You can give online. That's a great way to do it because a lot of people are doing that. It's become very popular. That is what I do. It is completely safe, and we will only sell your personal information to the Chinese if they offer us more than $1 million. At that point, it could happen, but anything under $1 million, we're not interested in. So just being facetious, joking, that means. Online giving, faithbaptistchurch.com. Text to give. A lot of people are doing this too, texting to give. You text 84321, and then there are some instructions that pop up that teaches you how to begin, and that's easy. And then you say, Pastor Monty, all of this, of course, you can give in the offering plates, which currently are out there. There are, by the way, the envelopes for the giving system is over here near the church office. Go over there and get your envelope if that's the way you give. If you write checks, that's fine. Now, somebody said this, Pastor, all this computer stuff, I'd like to do it because it's easy and it's automatic and I don't have to think about it, but I don't want to mess with the technology. Right here, a long time ago when we started this, I had Pastor Ogden set it up for me, and he set it up for me. So I asked him today, for any of you who want to do that, I asked him today to be available in the lobby and ready to help anyone who wants to set that up, to be part of that. So you can give. And again, I'm not a good salesman, I'm not high pressure, but here's what I am. I'm super excited about what God is doing for this church. It is amazing. If I turn back the clock 23 years ago to when I first came to this place, we were $1.7 million in debt. We were in a receivership bankruptcy. There was approximately 140, 150 people that were coming faithfully to church. The church didn't own one vehicle. And apart from me, there were no full-time staff members. We had a part-time secretary and a part-time youth pastor. Apart from me, there were none. And every time I came to church, I always thought, wow, we're on the verge of closing. And you know what God did? God said, I'm going to solve that. And he said, I'm going to make it a witness and a testimony to my goodness and my grace. I simply believe him. And it's been a train of blessings ever since. And I would encourage you, get on that train. Say, Pastor, well, that's all good. The Bible we were talking about a moment ago, and I'll close quickly, but the Bible tells us we should make a plan. We've done that. We should build flexibility into the plan. I think we've done that. Our things are COVID-free. The plan, we're going to plan actions and not outcomes, because God's going to be in charge of the outcomes. And by the way, when it comes to outcomes with God, he will do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think, the prophet Jeremiah says. But then I'm going to give you one more. We're going to be prepared for life's uncertainties. Be prepared for life's uncertainties. Back to the book of James chapter 4. You know not what shall be on the morrow, verse 14. Be prepared for life's uncertainties. Life could throw us some curveballs. We acknowledge that. We have to after what we just lived through. Knowledge, our own knowledge is limited. We don't know what will be on the morrow. One thing he says is death is certain, but no one wants to think about that. I'm going to be prepared for life's uncertainties in the midst of the plan. We may have to change some things. We may have to make it flexible. We may have to come back to the church and say, hey, this isn't working, or because of circumstances beyond our control, we can't do this. I'm totally willing to do that, because I'll always be just upfront and transparent with you, and you just be accepting of what we may be forced to do because of changing life. And then we're going to embrace God's plan. This is my last point, above our own. Look at verse number 15. James says, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Do you know what the difference is? Not having a plan is what you want to have. Have a plan to do this or that. But always say it, couch it in this terminology. If the Lord will. Hey, here's our plan, Lord. If you will, this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray as if everything depends upon God. We're going to work as if everything depends upon us. Lord, if you will, and if your will is somehow different from our goal, then graciously guide us into your perfect plan. That's the attitude that we need to have, to embrace that. Verse number 17, to always do the right thing. If we don't do the right thing, it's sin. Keep going no matter what. Now, I'm excited. I'm hoping in 2021 we see the waters of baptism stirred more than we ever have in the history of this church. I'm hoping that we see more opportunities that are God-given to be a witness and testimony to our community than we ever have in this church. I'm hoping all those things, but I'm willing to take steps, as are you. I'm willing to take steps and say, I'm going to put action to my prayer. I'm going to put feet to my hope. And to the glory of God, I'll do these things. Understanding things could change a little here and there, right? Understanding that. But I'm going to move ahead. And I'm hoping, should the Lord tarry his coming, that when we do this next year, we can stand as we did this year, in the midst of a crazy year. We can stand up and we can say, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. Father, I pray that you'll help each one of us to catch a burden for the plan that we presented. Lord, we thank you for so many good and exciting things. Things, Lord, that are far beyond our wildest imagination that you have done for this, your people. Father, help us to see that each one of us has a part. Each one of us has a responsibility in serving, in supporting, in our resources. And God, how you have multiplied those things and you've demonstrated it to us. How you've multiplied the effectiveness of all of those things time and time again. Father, we now commit our year to you. We ask, Lord, that as our plans are laid, you will help us to accomplish the details and focus on them. For those plans, Lord, which may have to be scuttled or changed because of circumstances which we don't know, Lord, help us to be accepting of that. Teach us, Lord, what it means to be creative in replacing plans with other things. And Father, give us a real sense of unity as we march forward into this future. Help us, Lord, not to be fearful. Help us, Lord, not to be afraid. But help us, Lord, to love you better and to know you better and to know you more, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please. Everyone stand.